The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show as we head into hour two, which would be our penultimate hour. 602-508-0960 is the number. It's a good day whenever I get a chance to catch up with my good friend, Brian Kennedy. He is the former president of the Claremont Institute. He is the chairman of the Committee on the Present Danger, China. China been in the news a lot lately, and not just for military reasons, though that cannot be discounted or forgotten, but also now cultural reasons. Welcome back to the airwaves of Phoenix, Brian.
Thank you, Seth. It's great to be with you as always. But why isn't this the ultimate hour?
Well, right? The ultimate hour comes next. I had a dunderheaded professor at the Claremont Graduate School. We can leave her nameless. You might be able to figure her out. And she was very good at correcting things that didn't need to be corrected. And I remember she once used the word penultimate to mean like the greatest example of something, you know. She used it. Of course, this was the teacher, you know, because nothing ever dies with me. This is the teacher who, when I quoted Daniel Boorstin in a paper, she circled it and wrote that I had his name wrong. It should have been Boorstein. Of course, I was right and she was wrong. This is what passes for modern academics. While we're on that detour, you and I lost a friend yesterday who was, by any account, a great teacher. I did a praise of great teachers. You and I have been blessed by having great teachers. Michael Yeoman passed yesterday at the age of 79. You had a great teacher at Claremont. We both had Harry Jaffa, but you also had one. I only saw a lecture once or twice. Harold Rood. He was a great teacher of yours. Was he your most impactful teacher at Claremont, Brian?
He was. And
what did he teach you? We're blessed when a great teacher teaches us one great thing.
Right.
These guys teach us many great things. What did Harold Rood teach you?
Well, you know, the best teachers, and Harold Rood was one of them, he tried to teach people how to teach themselves.
Ah.
He only knew that he had them for a short period of time and that he wanted to make an impression. And he knew he was going to send you out in the world where you had to fend for yourself. And he always wanted people to figure out things and to be their own person, and to be able to think for themselves and not to listen to how other people thought and saw the world, but how they might see the world themselves.
Ah.
He wanted them to be armed with the right tools with which to do that, whether it was research or writing or public presentations. He wanted you to be your own person, and that was a big deal. He just didn't want to talk to you. He wanted you to figure things out for yourself, and so that in almost every class, within a few weeks, he had students, you know, give part of the class themselves in some presentation.
Is that right?
Because,
how wonderful.
Yeah, because you weren't just going to sit there. You were going to be a participant in your own education.
And then would he critique or advise on how you could have made a point better or less, a better point or a better argument in the class? Did he then, you know, review you on your teaching?
Yeah, not in front of everybody. He had a good way about him.
Mm-hmm.
He taught at a place where you had a bunch of young men coming back from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of before my time. But he was teaching these young men how to be well equipped for the world that they were going to find themselves in, confronting the Soviet Union.
Fantastic.
And he was a serious guy, and he was a private in Patton's army in World War II.
Uh-huh.
And he thought the world was a very practical place. And so I'll just leave you with this one thought. And it reminds me of Mike Yeoman. Mike Yeoman was a very practical guy, too,
mm-hmm.
meaning that, you know, you have to think through these things yourself. But Rood had a class once where he'd assign almost every year someone to give a lecture on how to fix the differential in a Jeep. And this would be in a class in international relations.
This is great.
And people would wonder, well, you know, Johnny is giving a talk on you know, French foreign policy between 1920 and 1930.
Yeah.
Why am I giving a talk on fixing the differential in a Jeep.
Right.
And he said, well, you may find yourself in Germany one day with a bunch of Nazis chasing your ass. And it'd be a very useful thing to know how to fix a differential on a Jeep if, in fact, the differential broke.
Isn't that great?
Because he said the world's a very practical place.
I love that. I love that.
And so even though he was teaching a course in international relations, he wanted to remind people the world's a very practical place with people who are either going to try to help you or hurt you.
What a great lesson,
though. Kill you.
What a great lesson, and what a great way to think about foreign policy, too, because I think we do often mistake theory for practice or praxis or practical thought, and it's when we do that that we err. Good for Harold Rood to communicate that. Really good for Harold Rood to communicate that. That's not a bad segue into the issues we're dealing with when it comes to China, because I think a lot of people bought a lot of theory about China without really quite understanding the practical nature of the regime itself. Remember about thinking about everything that's gone on with, of course, the NBA and now even ESPN kowtowing to China. That's probably the right word, exactly the right word, right, Brian? I think I remember somewhere around 1997 or 8, another friend of ours, Gary Bauer, said, you know, the engagement we've had with China has changed us more than it's changed them. We're kind of seeing that, aren't we?
Yeah, I think that's pretty observant. We I think, are still pretty naive mm-hmm. when it comes to the relationship, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
That, you know, you see this general manager from the Houston Rockets. He makes a tweet about freedom in Hong Kong, and all of a sudden, everybody's all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a pretty sophisticated guy, but he thinks that this is America and he can still say what he thinks.
You would think.
And the practical nature of this is, no, his Chinese masters didn't want those things said, and they're willing to exert great influence upon his organization, the Houston Rockets,
mm-hmm.
to get him to retract that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to work their way all the way up the chain of command, whether it's the NBA or the companies that broadcast the NBA, and then the companies that own those companies,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. they don't screw around.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make a point, and that is they're to be respected because they're the masters
mm-hmm.
of all this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not the respect is probably the wrong word. They're to be, you know, bowed down to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that Americans are still not quite prepared for. And so you have to wonder about this guy Morey from Daryl Morey, I think his name
yeah.
is, from the Houston Rockets,
right.
that he made this calculation. And I think he thought he can get away with it. He could have gotten away with it, but it turns out he couldn't. That's pretty surprising.
Brian, tell us, I mean, yes, all of it is very surprising. And now it turns out that things that we think of as very American are having to do very un-American things in deference or obeisance to a tyranny. China is a tyranny. I want no hesitation in my statement about that. I think you would agree. And so something like National Basketball Association, they now have to bow down, as so many other companies do, to a tyranny. This is fundamentally not only wrong, but un-American. It should be a quite simple test for us, shouldn't it?
Well, you certainly would have thought so. And you're absolutely right that it's a tyranny. But let's be careful about that word, because
okay.
we don't want to describe them in such a way that our countrymen will think, oh, my God, well, that just can't be.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They are a tyranny. I've tended to call them either a tyranny or a totalitarian dictatorship, but I always also include the fact that they've mastered the idea of keeping you quiet. And the difference between their tyranny and any other tyranny that we read about in history is that you always have these people rising up against it.
Mm-hmm.
The PRC is so talented in their application of their totalitarian dictatorship in the most evil ways possible, that they're able to silence people and make it think it's almost their idea. And so they regulate the internet. They have this, you know, amazing facial recognition system. They have social credit scores. And they have persuaded their entire population to keep their head down, lest they be reprimanded, arrested, disappeared, what have you. And that is the kind of thing that we Americans have to start understanding, and we don't, and we need to.
It's so hard for so many who haven't experienced it and, you know, didn't grow up where, you know, we were facing that long twilight struggle and heard stories from the Soviet Union. We get a very blanched story out of what's going on in China, so it makes it all the more difficult for so many Americans to appreciate it. But appreciate it, we must. I have to hit a break, Brian. I want to keep you for a while if I can. Brian Kennedy is the chairman of the Committee on the Present Danger, China. Easy website to go visit, presentdangerchina.org. We'll be right back. And, of course, Brian, being the consummate teacher himself, always welcome to take calls, too. 602-508-0960. Be right back with more from Brian T. Kennedy. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I have Brian Kennedy with us. He's going to stay with us for a prolonged period here, or just, as I should say, just enough to get us through the issues with China. I also want to get his take on the impeachment controversy. He's a very strategic thinker. He is, among other things, the chairman of the Committee on the Present Danger, China. That's one of my favorite Johnny Cash songs, Brian. And I have a listener who's such a he's just a real big fan of Bob Dylan. And I can't stand Bob Dylan, but I give that as a sop because Bob Dylan wrote that song. So if I can get Johnny Cash singing a Bob Dylan song, we can get some semblance of understanding the lyrics, right?
What a good song that was.
Isn't that a great song? A Wanted Man. You're a big Johnny Cash guy, aren't you?
I am. No, I love Johnny Cash.
That's why you dress in black as well, isn't it?
Actually, it is.
Brian, on China, I was making a point right before the break. I don't think I've ever explored it with you. And you're a deep and big think guy on this question. I want to throw it your way. So, you know, a goodly portion of this country understood the Soviet threat during the long twilight struggle. And, of course, we had, you know, a lot of people that tried to undermine and discount it and naysay it. We did in the Democratic Party primarily. But still a good deal of Democrats understood the Soviet threat. In fact, your organization, Committee on the Present Danger, organized against the Soviet Union, had a lot of good Democrats in it at that time. And why is it, how is it that we just don't have that same view over a what I would say is an equally, if not greater threat in that of China? What is it? What's that distinction here? What accounts for that difference, if and to the extent you agree that there is a difference?
Well, yeah, I think it's more the case that right now the Democrats, because they're just so adamantly anti-Trump, are not willing to follow the president much on this subject publicly. But I would say in private, a lot of Democrats are very concerned about China.
Okay. Okay.
The ones who are genuine about the future of the country. There's a lot of Democrats who are not serious at all.
Right.
There's a lot of Republicans who are not serious.
Clearly, clearly. Yeah.
The most serious Democrats do, I think, concern themselves with China because, look, at the end of the day, they want Americans to have jobs as well.
Right.
And they know that if they let China steal our intellectual property and our manufacturing base and just don't play fair with us, that can't be good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is an issue that can have bipartisan support. I think we ought to be working hard to find common ground with Democrats on this subject, because this is something that we can have common ground on, and we should. And so far, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, who are against President Trump on everything else,
mm-hmm.
are at least with him when it comes to China. And I think to the extent we can cultivate that, that would be a good thing.
I do recall back in the late 90s, Nancy Pelosi, as a member of Congress, not Speaker, as a member of Congress, was very hard on China. I do remember that, and you're right to point that out. And
those old Labor Democrats,
not
that she's necessarily an old Labor Democrat, but those old Labor Democrats were all about getting people jobs.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And some of them actually also gave a damn about human rights. Some of them.
Correct. Yes.
Brian, but in comparison with the Soviet Union, I remember in the 70s, you may remember too, people would go to the Soviet Union. Americans would go to the Soviet Union. They'd meet with dissidents. I mean, it was hard. It wasn't easy, but they did. And sometimes they would bring them the most favored thing I think they wanted at the time, which was maybe blue jeans, Levi's actually. You don't hear those stories about Americans visiting China. And I think in a certain sense, China is a much harder country on its dissidents than maybe the Soviet Union was, as bad as it was. And so maybe that's part of the problem, too. China does such a much better job of being an authoritarian regime than the Soviet Union. They're certainly, as you outlined in the last segment, much more technologically skilled at it.
Yeah, well, there's certainly that. And when it came to the Soviet Union, no American visitor looked at the Soviet Union and thought he was going to make boatloads of money there.
Great
selling
point.
Them things.
Great point.
Selling them things.
Great
point. Whereas everybody looks at China and thinks, my God, how much money we can make here.
Great point.
Hence the fact that there is this crackdown on the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I should have added in the last segment was, it's one thing to pressure the NBA while they're visiting China,
uh-huh.
but did you see in Philadelphia last night?
Yes!
They had two people yes. arrested holding signs.
Right. Audience. Normal American audience members or fans. Right.
Right. Normal American in Philadelphia, they held up signs that said Free Hong Kong or Free HK,
mm-hmm.
and people saw it, and they called security,
mm-hmm.
and eventually they got kicked out and arrested.
You bet.
For expressing a political view in the United States.
Of freedom in the city that is the birth of our freedom. Yeah.
At a preseason game in a, not very crowded time.
Right.
And so, against a Chinese team, right? And so presumably that was being broadcast back home, and no one wanted to see that the Americans were holding up Free Hong Kong signs. Meaning, if the Chinese can reach into the United States and suppress dissent, you see the lengths they will go to impose their will
mm-hmm.
around the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is a real teachable moment for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
and the world when we see just how bold and aggressive China is in distributing their tyranny on as many human beings as possible.
Yeah.
It's a very shameful time.
It's a shameful time, and just the irony that this happens in, of all places, Philadelphia. There is city more associated with the freedoms that we thought we enjoyed and certainly didn't think we would have to bow to and towards when it comes to another country. Brian, a minute left in this segment. Would you outline a little bit of the military threat we face from China as well? And then I want to talk to you about impeachment in the next segment, if I can.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
I mean, the key military thing to know is that the Chinese have either stolen or otherwise acquired every technology they need with which to defeat the United States. They're not there yet. But they're on their way. They can build anything we can build, whether it's an airplane, fighter airplane, bomber, naval destroyer, aircraft carrier, and they can go to space.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very determined to be the sole superpower on Earth. And given enough time and energy, they will do that because that, in their mind, is what they're supposed to do. They think they're meant to be the dominant power on Earth. And in war games, the U.S. Navy has had, for the last 5 years, war games simulated internally, and we've lost each one. It's an internal simulation, but we've lost,
nice.
Which just shows you just how capable China is.
Yeah. Nicely put, Brian. Can you stay with me and talk a little impeachment?
Absolutely.
I'm Seth Leibson. He's Brian Kennedy. This is Natalie Cole on Colored Sky. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Delighted to have Brian Kennedy with us. Brian T. Kennedy is, among other things, the chairman of the Committee on the Present Danger. Brian, you and I were walking the streets of a city, not Phoenix, not L.A., about 6 or 7 months ago together, and we were talking politics. And remember you said something I had heard no one else ever say, which is not unique to you. You're a unique thinker, which is not unusual for you because you are a unique thinker. And you put it to me this way. You said, one of the things I don't understand about Never Trump Republicans is how they don't understand the existential threat this country faces. You would think maybe some of them would be seeing it now with this move to impeach, especially over a call to the Ukraine, which I see no problem with at all. I'm not one of these people that say I would have told Trump to say it differently. I really see no problem in anything he said, having read the transcript any number of times. Where are we with impeachment and our fellow Republicans? And then let's talk about impeachment and our fellow Americans who call themselves Democrats.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think the problem with the whole impeachment of Trump is that, I mean, to your broader point, the Republicans don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
If they think that their political fate is somehow different than Trump's,
mm-hmm.
they're dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If the president goes down over this, they go down over this,
mm-hmm.
which is why, you know, the Mitt Romneys of the world,
mm-hmm.
do they really want, I mean, okay, he just got elected, so if Trump is out of office, he'll still be there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really what he's shooting for? Do they really think Trump did anything wrong? And, of course, the answer is they know he didn't do anything wrong, but they're willing to sacrifice the entire country over this. Because can anybody think that, you know, sure, Mike Pence, if the president were thrown out of office, Mike Pence would be president,
mm-hmm.
and likely elected. Or the Democrats think, you know, maybe they can beat Mike Pence. Who knows? But my own theory has been immediately when it happened, the great talk of this, I immediately thought this was AOC mm-hmm. and the squad, mm-hmm. her Democratic squad.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted Biden gone,
mm-hmm.
because they think Biden is a loser politically.
Yeah, there was that theory for a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a crazy theory
no.
in the sense that they think Biden's a loser
mm-hmm.
and that either Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren present a much more formidable picture of the kind of Democratic Party they want in the future.
Right.
They may not be able to beat Donald Trump either, but they want to rebrand the Democratic Party as a socialist party.
Right.
And they're also willing to signal that they're willing to take any steps that are required to make that so, even if it means bringing down Joe Biden.
Right.
Because an impeachment inquiry is only going to hurt President Trump so much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll be removed. I don't think anybody really does.
Right.
But it will certainly expose the corruption of Joe Biden and
right.
his son.
Right.
And make his candidacy untenable.
Right.
So I think that's the real... The real loser here is Joe Biden.
I agree with
and
that.
I think that's why the Democrats have been pushing it so hard.
Interesting.
And so often.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit more about why Mitt Romney says the things that the Mitt Romneys of the world say. Or for that matter, you know, a bunch of these now very clear defectors from the National Review who have gone on in the Weekly Standard to start this, I guess, newsletter. This is the second Never Trump Republican newsletter that has been started in the last year or so, as if there's much of a market for it. Maybe there is. Maybe they know something I don't. But that is an interesting thing about Mitt Romney. I had a caller the other day. We were having an exchange, Brian. Said, you know, he's been in office, as you point out, he's been in office really only since January. But I can't remember a single speech he's given from the Senate floor on behalf of a value that anyone would consider a Republican or conservative value. He doesn't really ever speak up or put his foot on the accelerator for our values. When he stands up and puts his foot on the accelerator, it's to declaim against our values, or at least our president.
Yes. Well, I think the one thing that Trump has really brought out is the defense of globalism by these Republicans.
Aha. That's an important point. And we're hitting a break. Can I keep you one more segment and let you develop
yes,
that on the next side of this break? Because that's too important to rush through. I'm Seth Leibson. We're talking to Brian T. Kennedy. He is the president of the American Strategy Group. He is the former president of the Claremont Institute. He is the chairman of the Committee on the Present Danger, China. He is a good friend and a teacher. He'll take any questions you may have as well. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Let me put in a good word for our friends at Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating. They have watchwords. They are quality service, great warranties, and installations done right. They have a great special running right now for Patriot listeners. They will replace your AC unit right now with a 14-SEER total comfort system at never done before 25% off. At Cool Touch, they'll also throw in a Wi-Fi smart thermostat, a free duct cleaning, and a 10-year parts warranty, along with a 1-year maintenance warranty to prevent breakdowns, and no interest payments for 12 months. At Cool Touch, it's upfront pricing, no games, and no guessing. Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating. They also do plumbing. They are open 7 days a week. I am a client of theirs. I have dear friends who are clients of theirs because I recommended them to them, and they thanked me for it. It is a great company. Chris Funk and his team share your values. Give them a call at 602-923-9600. That's 602-923-9600. Or visit them online at cooltouch.us. We're talking to Brian Kennedy a little bit about China, a little bit about our domestic political situation on the impeachment front. Brian, right before the break, you were making a point about the animations of Mitt Romney types in the Senate and in the House and among us who challenge the president whenever they get the microphone. They don't really ever challenge the left, but they're happy to challenge the president. You were making an important point about globalism.
Well, what I was going to say was President Trump ran on the idea that this globalism, the idea of globalism, was not serving the American people very well and that we ought to put the interests of the American people first, whether it was immigration or trade policy or where our troops are going to be fighting around the world. It seems to me Mitt Romney and all those never-Trumpers, part of their animus toward the president is all about the fact that they have spent their adult lives defending something else. They've spent their lives defending the idea that it doesn't matter whether we're manufacturing here or in China or anywhere else. Mm-hmm. They've never seen a war they didn't like. Mm-hmm. And are willing to defend it even when it doesn't go very well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter to them whether or not America has these awful immigration policies. Mm-hmm. And so their lack of, they fundamentally have two different worldviews. Mm-hmm. And President Trump's won out, demonstrating that their worldview, and here I'm talking Mitt Romney and his cohorts, it demonstrated that their worldview was simply wrong, and that the heart of the Republican Party and the heart of the conservative movement, I think especially now, is embracing Trump's view of the world and rejecting Mitt Romney's, and Mitt Romney and his team are simply fighting back, and impeachment is good to make that possible.
Nicely put.
And so I think the more they keep on attacking the president over these things, the smaller and smaller they will turn out to be, because they have no principled position, do they?
I think they look pretty – I think you're right. I think Mitt Romney is looking small. I think Joe Biden is looking small. I think there's a lesson here. If you're going to fire on the king, make sure it's the right bullet and the right king. And so far it's been the wrong bullet and the wrong king. I think that's right.
Well, it's easy for the Republicans to do that, because mm-hmm. that's just being petulant
yeah.
most of the time.
Yeah.
For the Democrats – you know, earlier we were looking at motivations
yeah.
for the Democrats and impeachments. I mean, the Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer view, I believe, is something slightly different. And that is, they want to weaken the president as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that the president has to spend his time dealing with impeachment,
yeah.
he's not doing the things he was elected to do.
That's right.
So this is just one more way of frustrating his ambition to get better trade deals in China or build a wall
agenda,
or do right. And also, because impeachment is a legal operation at times and a lot of other things could come into play, that it will discourage the president from attracting new talent into his administration.
Oh, that's a great point, too. This is a big intimidation game. I have long thought about that one as well. Hey, Brian, I have a listener on the line who wanted to throw a question to you on – oops, did I lose Brian? I did. Rick, I'm sorry. I was going to put you on with Brian. Bill, will you call Brian right back? I'm sorry. I lost Brian there. But, Rick, if you want to formulate your question, I'll repeat it for Brian once we have him.
Sounds great. Seth, this is just a fantastic interview, and
thank you
so much for you and Brian shedding so much light and educating us. It's tremendous. My question for Brian, he mentioned that one of the intimidation tactics that the PRC uses is to make their people keep their head down.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I see that now. I think that was a great point, and I see that. What my question is, are we in America well on the way to that?
Okay. We have Brian back. So, Rick, thank you. Brian, I don't know if you caught enough of that question, but the question is, China has the wherewithal, as you pointed out, to keep their people keeping their heads down through intimidation. Do you fear that we in the U.S. might be heading in some of that direction?
Actually, I don't.
Okay, good.
And the reason is the American people are freedom-loving people.
Good.
And we have spent, 250 years trying to perfect democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe in freedom. We're willing to fight and die for freedom. And you can't push an American very far before he pushes back.
Good.
The Chinese people, unfortunately, have lived with thousands of years of repression and 70 years, most recently, of a communist dictatorship, and that has unfortunately shaped their worldview. This is one more reason why we in America have to remain vigilant and bold in our defense of human freedom, starting first here at home, making sure that we here in America remain free, but also making sure that other people around the world see us for who we are. And that is people who are not going to be intimidated and not going to have our freedom taken away from us.
Nice.
And both those things are important lessons, either for, both for the American people and for people around the world.
Nice. Yeah. Whenever we're pushed, we do find our way of standing up. We've seen it from time to time when the going gets tough. And, the phrase I kept thinking of was that great phrase that Herbert Hoover coined back in 1928 about our rugged individualism, right? That is something alien to the Chinese culture.
It would certainly seem to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like they're not tough.
Right.
They're tough and they're ruthless. President Xi is ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're rugged, but rugged in pursuit of, tyranny.
Yes, not individual rights, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
But they're not, the Chinese, to be sure, are not to be trifled with.
Mm-hmm.
They can build advanced nuclear weapons, and they can intimidate 1.4 billion of their own people. And if a time comes where they think they can push us around, you can better believe they will.
I'm sorry, it was my mistake that I hung up on you. You received a tremendous compliment from the listener on the way to his asking the question, Brian, and you deserve that compliment. I'll reiterate it with just saying to you 1,000 times, thank you for your time today and for everything else you do and are, Brian Kennedy.
Thank you, Seth. Great to be with you.
We'll talk to you soon. God bless.
God bless you.
I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. We shall return. Hey, it's Seth Leibson, and if you're feeling run down and don't have the energy that you used to, it's probably because you're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. It's time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in capsule form. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins that are made with synthetics. It's just natural food in a vegetarian capsule with tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% fruits, vegetables, and whole food plants. A daily dose of Balance of Nature capsules has 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Once you start taking Balance of Nature, you'll feel great. People report that their skin looks better and they have a lot more energy. It's time to improve the quality of your life. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer which gets you their best pricing and free shipping, and they'll take off an additional $25 from your first order. This will be a limited-time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use the discount code BALANCE. You know, in that previous segment, our last segment with Brian Kennedy, I had cause to mention that phrase rugged individualism, which we've talked a little bit about here on the show before, and how fun it was to discover where it came from. I think we learned together that it was originated in 1928 by Herbert Hoover in a campaign speech he gave. He said, "We were faced after World War I with a choice between the American system of rugged individualism and a European philosophy of diametrically opposed doctrines, doctrines of paternalism and state socialism. The acceptance of these ideas would have meant the destruction of self-government through centralization and the undermining of the individual initiative and enterprise through which our people have grown to unparalleled greatness. The Republican Party resolutely turned its face away from the ideas of state socialism and war practice. When the Republican Party came into full power, it went at once resolutely back to the fundamental conception of the state and the rights of responsibility of the individual. Thereby, it restored confidence and hope in the American people. It freed and stimulated enterprise. It restored the government to a position as an umpire instead of a player in the economic game. And for these reasons, the American people have gone forward in progress." Seems like we're kind of at that need for that rhetoric again, are we not? Are we not? I love those diametrically opposed doctrines that Hoover set up. Rugged individualism versus doctrines of paternalism and state socialism. We can have either here. We're given the choice in these elections. We can have either. I know which one I choose. And I just don't understand or know why these Never Trumpers, who I thought had gone away but evidently have it now starting their second magazine, what they think will govern them once they empower the Democrats. Give me a call at 602-508-0960. We shall be right back.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.